Good morning. Carl Stein begins his intriguing novel, A Sudden Light, with a quote from Anais Nin. We do not see things the way they are, we see them as we are. And with this Kantian insight, he begins to tell a long story that calls into question the reliability of memory, the responsibilities of wealth, and the destruction of the forests of this country by the lumber barons of the 19th and 20th centuries. Most of you readers will know Stein by his famous novel, The Art of Racing in the Rain, and while that was a fine book, I think this one is better and more important. Trevor Holloway, who is 14 years old, goes on a trip to Seattle with his father in order to discover about his past and about the vast estate once owned by his great-great-grandfather, Elijah Riddell. Trevor's parents, Jones and Rachel, have recently separated after Jones' business has collapsed and his mother has escaped to England to be with her family. While he is not sure why his father has insisted that he accompany him on the trip, he is sure of what his personal mission is. Quote, I understood two things. First, somewhere along the way, my father had gone wrong, and my mother stopped loving him. Second, I could fix him. I could pull him together. And I believed that by the end of the summer, if I did my job right, I could deliver my father to my mother as if he were a regular loving person, like when she first met him. And then, well, then it would be up to her to decide where her heart lay. A kid can only do so much. Close quote. During the course of his summer, he meets his 73-year-old grandfather, Grandpa Samuel, who's said to be suffering from dementia, and his beautiful aunt, Serena, who feels that her brother Jones simply abandoned her when she was 11, but now has come back to save her by getting their father to sell the huge old mansion they still live in and the extensive grounds that are worth a fortune given the proximity to the city of Seattle. He also learns that Elijah was one of the major timber barons who, according to his dead son Ben, destroyed nature for profit. Ben is the conservationist son who bends all of his efforts to saving the North Estate and returning at least that small part of the forest back to nature. The story is a long and intricate one, and you'll have to discover its many turns by reading the book yourself. But I can say that you will be reminded of another forester, Pinchot or Pinchot, and of the great conservationist John Muir. The book reminded me in a powerful way of my fascination with Muir in the 70s and sent me back to some of his work. Trevor comes to know Ben through his dreams and comes to believe that he is somehow channeling Ben and joining him in the struggle to preserve a bit of the land Ben's father acquired. Trevor slowly explores many of the hidden rooms and chambers of the huge mansion and pieces together a story of the house's past and of the sins of his forefathers. Grandpa Samuel provides the first clues about the past and the struggles he's having with his daughter, Serena, over selling the house and land. Serena has essentially surrendered her own life in the service of her aging father, and she wants finally to reap some benefit from the caretaking of the house and Samuel. We come to learn that her love for her brother, Jones, is not simply sisterly love, but has a romantic and even a carnal aspect as well. Indeed, her long-term plan is to get power of attorney so she and Jones can sell the land off to be parceled into plots for McMansions and then to tour the world with Jones as her brother lover. Serena even tries to seduce young Trevor as an aid to completing her plans. While the story totally caught my interest, I was even more interested in the history provided of the rape of the land by the timber barons and the collusion between the timber men and the mighty new railroads in exploiting the land for profit. While that history is certainly a sad and disturbing one, there is light in this story and some lovely excursions into nature mysticism as well. While some readers may be put off by the aura of magic in the novel, I read it more like a struggle between head and heart, between hard logic and a relationship with nature that transcends the need to codify and understand. Much like Ian McEwan's Black Dogs, in which I believe McEwan presents his own struggles to rectify the division between rationality and spirit, I believe this is Stein's attempt to take on this same struggle. There is, in the incomprehensible complexity of the universe, mystery that is not to be solved, but simply to be embraced. And Stein does a fine job of standing before and embracing the mystery. I came away from the book feeling more optimistic about the world, even in this dark and chaotic time, and I carried from it a quote from John Muir that has become a sort of mantra for me. My peace I give unto you. When you read the book, you will understand the importance of the mantra. I've been talking about Garth Stein's 2014 novel, A Sudden Light. This is Larry Bolden for the Old Mole Variety Hour.